now, back to Eye on Travel.
43 minutes after the hour, Peter Greenberg here with you as Eye on Travel continues for this October weekend 2020. You can always reach me, Peter at petergreenberg.com, with your name, phone number, question, or problem. We will solve it right here on the air. In fact, let's do that right now. Here's an email from Susan Radzinowitz. I hope I pronounced that right, Susan. I have a deposit on a cruise to Amsterdam in early April. I have paid in full for the pre-cruise package, have not yet secured airfare. I can't obtain information from AMA Cruise, that's AMA Waterways, nor my travel agency regarding escrow provisions. What's your recommendation? Well, what Susan's referring to is what I talked about on the show last week, that to prevent the problems that so many of you had in getting refunds from either tour operators, cruise lines, or airlines, there should be, and if you ask for it, they should put in place, and if enough of you ask for it, they'll make it a law, and by the way, in some cases in states, it is a law, that when you pay money ahead of time for a travel product, a cruise, a tour, a safari, whatever, that money then goes into an independent third-party escrow account that cannot be accessed by the travel provider until you show up on the safari, or your flight leaves with you sitting on the plane, or your cruise departs with you in your cabin, and then that money is released to the operator. It's escrow. It's no different than buying a house, right? That's how you trust. We didn't see a lot of trust happen. What we saw was a lot of unsuspecting travelers making interest-free loans to travel providers when the you-know-what hit the fan. So if your travel agent doesn't understand the word escrow, you better get another travel agent. That's all I can tell you. Or say you want your money back right now. You do not want to be in a situation where, you know, God forbid next April there may be a flare-up of the virus again, they cancel the cruise, and they just offer you a voucher, and you can't get your money back. Not appropriate. The reason for escrow is obvious. It's a no-brainer. And the industry needs to get there to restore the trust that was broken during the pandemic. So if your travel agent doesn't understand the word escrow, you heard me, get another travel agent. And if AMA Waterways doesn't want to put it in escrow, get another river cruise line. All right, here's one from Susie Clark who writes, my husband has lots of flyer miles and would love to use them for our family of four in Costa Rica in April if it all gets better. Another April deal. Would our miles be refundable if things get worse or we change our mind? The answer, Susan, is yes. They will redeposit your miles to your account without a fee. What questions to recommend to ask the travel tour company in Costa Rica refundable? Well, what a surprise. It's no different than my last email. Say, I'll pay you the money as long as you put it into a third-party escrow account that's only released to you when I'm showing up in Costa Rica with the family on day one of our scheduled event. And if they don't want to do that, then don't go. We need to speak up here, guys. If we don't check for escrow and demand it, then you're going to be into trouble because they're going to start throwing vouchers at you and that's not what you want. Okay? And then question three from Susie, my favorite topic. Do we need travel insurance? Yeah, but you got to buy travel insurance that is actually worth something. Remember this. Most people who bought travel insurance because they had good intentions and they wanted to make the right decision never read the policy or the policy language. And in 95% of the cases, what did that policy language say? In like page 95, in some obscure paragraph, oh yeah, by the way, here's an exclusion. We don't cover pandemics. So you bought worthless travel insurance. So the good news is so many people got angry about what happened. There are now insurance companies developing a product and policies that will cover you if you get COVID-19. And they'll cover you in some cases, not just to stabilize you and treat you where you catch it, but to fly you home, repatriate you back to the doctor and medical facility of your choice. So check with the tour operator. Check with your travel agent to see who's selling that kind of insurance and what the premium is. I should tell you that coming up in just about a week, Costa Rica is reopening the borders and they figured it out. For $10 a day, they are insuring you that you're covered for COVID-19 and all the things I just mentioned. They will treat you in the country, they will fly you back home, and they will treat you back home. That's a no-brainer. $10 a day, count me in. And I believe that other countries like the like Jamaica may adopt a similar program, and you may see that in other Caribbean countries first. But it's a no-brainer. And any company, think about this, any company that offers that kind of insurance, I'm more likely to travel with them than anybody else. Wouldn't you? You need that security blanket. Got an email here from Phyllis Brunetti, who says, I had reservations with Jakarta Travel for 2021, for which I paid the deposit. And since I've signed up with Jakarta Travel, they were acquired by Wilderness Safaris. I was told on the phone by the person who was taking care of customers that the price of my trip will be the same for my reservations for 2022. And then I just spoke to one of the representatives of Wilderness Safaris, who said the price increase is due to money lost due to COVID-19. Is it ethical to place their burden on a customer for the same product, which was transferred to 2022 due to COVID-19? The answer, absolutely not, especially since they're holding onto your money anyway. Now, she asked if Wilderness Safaris is a reputable company. Yes, but they're not behaving well now. Do me a favor, Phyllis, send me the details, reservations numbers, dates, and the first and last names of the people you talk to, so I can get into this for you. It's not good behavior, right? I mean, the company may be solid, but they're not behaving in a solid way right now. And by the way, this is not an unusual story. Here's one from Marsha Melanson. It's difficult to figure out where you're allowed to travel and what things you need to do to be allowed. Actually, go to our website with that imaginative name, petergreenberg.com, because we've got it listed. All the countries in the world, there are now more than 50 of them that are now open to U.S. travelers and what the rules and restrictions are. We clearly delineate that for you. So that should give you no confusion. And we update it all the time because, as you know, very fluid situation, things change pretty rapidly. But it's up to date. Check it out. But you had another question, Marsha, you want to know about, are people in Cabo San Lucas wearing masks in restaurants and shops? You're asking that question because 2 weeks ago, we did our show from there. We actually broadcast from Cabo San Lucas, and the answer is, yes, they are. The Mexicans in Cabo San Lucas, very disciplined, very well-behaved. Everybody's doing what they're supposed to do. They were only at 30% capacity. They were capacity limited by order of the state. They will get up to 50% by this weekend, I believe. But everything was normal. Everything was it was all well-separated, and People didn't politicize masks. They just did it. And you know what? We had a great time. All right, here's one from Bruce Nathanson, who goes, I wanted to chime in regarding the recent article you discussed with the author of The Economist magazine. Recently had somebody on talking about what the future of travel looked like based on the sheer numbers, the sheer demand curve, and the economic situation. And the author basically said he didn't think travel was coming back till 2024. Well, Bruce says, I completely disagree with the hypothesis. Once there's an effective vaccine, presumably in 2021, passengers will flock to air travel. There is enormous pent-up demand. Yes, there will be fewer airlines and fewer choices, but capitalism will prevail, and I predict that air travel will be near normal in less than 2 years. Well, Bruce, I would tend to agree with you if you were talking just about leisure travel, people on vacation, you know, visiting friends and relatives, the VFR travel. Absolutely. But what The Economist was looking at was the entire travel situation, including corporate business travel, meetings and conventions. And I have to agree with them that we're not going to see business travel come back at the levels that it was last year. It's not going to happen. Individual business travel for smaller businesses, yes. But the big guys, they're going to start looking a whole lot more at Zoom or Google. Now, I'm a big believer in face-to-face communication, eye contact, and FaceTime, but that's still going to take some time to come back. That's number one. Number two, meetings and conventions are booked 2 to 3 years out, and there's nobody booking anything this year, meaning that's 2 to 3 years out. That gets you to 2023, and now we're back to 2024. So think about that. By the way, I hope I'm wrong. I hope you're right. I can't wait to get back and do it on a regular basis, right? I'm a barricaded suspect most of the time these days, and I'm not happy either. But human behavior in the absence of widespread reliable testing and a vaccine, you know, it's difficult to mitigate fear given those circumstances. So not to mention liability issues at the corporate level. So my guess is, and I don't think I'm going to be wrong, it's going to be a while. Now, will I get back out and travel on every flight I can take? You better believe it. Something tells me you will too. And all right, so now let's get to some of your questions. And I got a lot of them here. So let's see what we got. Oh, one of the overriding questions, of course, is about getting refunds. And if the travel provider, in many cases you've been writing in about airlines, if the travel provider does business in the city in which you live and they won't give you a refund and you haven't heard from them and they owe you a refund, not a voucher, and your damages, meaning the amount of money you spent for that ticket, is under $7,500, then you know, and you've waited at least 120 days without being satisfied, then guess what? Sue them in small claims court. Serve them. And chances are you're going to get your money, you'll get a judgment, and all will be well. I'm a big fan of that, and only as a last resort, though. Remember, litigation is always a last resort, but in many cases, I'm talking to many of you who don't have any more options. It is your last resort. And just remember, it's a tool you can use. If you've done your homework, if you have a good paper trail, if you know exactly who you talked to, first and last name, when you talked to them, or when they communicated with you, or if you confirmed a conversation in writing, and what their correspondence was with you. I mean, head to court. You got nothing to lose. For the simple reason that you're not alone, the law is on your side, and in many cases, I'm not making this up, I've seen situations where people get immediate, you know, the plaintiff gets an immediate judgment because the judge in the case is waiting for their refund, and you can paint that picture, right? You know exactly what's happening. So again, if they're not giving you money back, dispute the charge on your credit card. If it goes by 120 days, small claims court. Just remember the cap, $7,500. If there are two of you and the damages are like $9,000, then do two claims for $4,500 each, especially if you're married or you were traveling together and one person paid for it, but they're really shared accounts. So do it. And when you do it, let me know what happens. I'm really interested to hear what's going to happen because we're setting precedent these days. Again, if it's an airline that does business in the city in which you live, that means they have an office there. They have a physical place of business where they do business, and you just walk up, you know, go to small claims court, get all the documents, make sure everything is dotted and crossed, and then serve it to them. Walk in. All right? You got to physically serve it. They have to be served. But then once that happens, there's a date set by the court. And in many cases, the defendants just don't even show up. And you win by default, right? You get the judgment right then and there. And if enough of us do it, maybe these travel providers who have not been acting responsibly will take things seriously. All right? Coming up next, somebody we take seriously, Patrick Smith, the author of AskThePilot.com and that great book called Cockpit Confidential. Back with more of Eye on Travel right after this.
Your flight might be late, but we're on time. Eye on Travel. We'll be right back.